Well, we're very fortunate to have Professor Saudi, former chief cardiologist at Monaco's Princess Grace Hospital, now in private practice. He is acting as advisor for Riviera Radio during these troubled times. Professor Saudi, thank you very much for joining us again. Where do you think we currently are with the coronavirus outbreak?
Well, it's very variable from one country to another, in one place to another within a given country. We're relatively fortunate in the Côte d'Azur to be still at the beginning of a wave, but a wave which may not be for the time being as violent as it can be in other areas of France, such as the east of France and the Paris area, and as well as the Lille area. The hospitals had the time to prepare. I mean, they did what they could with what they had, but now the number of masks is increasing, and they had time to reorganize the various hospitals or organization. That is, many departments have been transformed into 100% COVID department. So they have quite a large capacity for acceptance of patients, and the number of patients has started to increase, but are not non-manageable as they seem to be in Paris, for example, or in the East. In the news, in the national news, the saturation is close to be there in Paris, and the export, as well as in the East, the export patient in other places of France or in Germany or in Luxembourg or in Switzerland, so as to be able to manage everybody who comes to the hospital, which is not the case here. So we, until recently, for example, Monaco patients could be transferred in Nice, and now I know I've heard that this morning from my former team that this might be able to be reversed if Nice is saturated, where Monaco might accept patients, but again, it's something which I cannot speak for. That gives you a global idea of the beginning of the wave, which is not still here.
Okay, a special word of thanks to all the medical professionals who are working so hard to treat people at the moment. So it must just be overwhelming for them.
It's not overwhelming in the sense that the care of patients does not saturate the systems yet. But it is evolving with a large place which is being devoted to the development of teleconsultation. And that is relatively new. So that needs a total reorganization of the team who are changing their way of practicing, developing teleconsultation while having much less of the regular activities such as the programmed intervention, which have been cancelled everywhere. And in fact, the departments are rather quiet, and they reorganize and they relearn, and they learn now to practice in a different fashion, which probably will leave some sequelae afterwards. I think this is part of, it accelerates a natural evolution towards more teleconsultation.
Yes, so governments keep speaking about the peak of the virus and rumours that we're approaching it this week, that it's going to get far worse over the next couple of weeks. But would you say that there needs to be a lot more widespread testing before we can find out the true extent of the virus?
Oh, that's an impossible question to answer. The need for more testing has been very early advocated by the WHO, and this was not the choice in France. Initially, for the reasons for the lack of global testing, and then because the wave was there, it became useless to test people because it would not have changed a lot. And the policy of isolating people, identifying the people contaminated, and then isolating them and tracing all the contacts, and so could not be applied if the virus was already widespread. And now there seems to be a change in the official policy in France, where testing will reappear mostly for being able to manage the end of the wave and the descending phase of it in order to restore a normal normal status of epidemics at the end of it. But so testing is a very, very, very difficult question. Initially, it was due to the lack of availability of tests, and now tests are changing, they are evolving, they become faster, they become blood direct analysis of the antibodies in the blood, not yet available, but the research is ongoing. So it is a two evolving field to give a precise answer at a given point in time.
Nevertheless, if governments do start to allow people to go out again, we've already discussed the fact that the virus is unlikely to go away in the summer months even. So presumably, it's a difficult thing to know when to let people out again.
Very difficult, because there is always the fear that the wave is not terminated and the second wave will appear, likely less violent than the first one, because already a significant portion of the population will be immunized. But it is very difficult to decide when. What is striking is the fact that this wave is not really coming at a point which would be unmanageable now. So we're still at the early phases, and it is true that the worst is in front of us rather than behind us.
What about the use of masks by members of the public? We know that governments have said it's not necessary, but now a lot of health experts are saying that people should actually wear masks when they're out shopping, for example.
Absolutely. There has been a lot of attempted explanation as to why masks may not be necessary. It is very directly related to pure, simple availability of masks. There was, in the history of the virus epidemics in France, there was some 20 years ago a lot of masks available, and there were funds for that, and no serious epidemics having arisen in the last 20 years, let's say, very important. Then the number of masks which were installed have diminished. And it is funny to see that for the H1N1 flu epidemic some 10 years ago, when Roselyne Bachelot, who was a minister of France, had ordered a lot of masks and a lot of vaccines, and finally the epidemic was not as violent, and later on she was criticized for having done too much. So that finally ended up into the fact that the number of masks were not very important, so the policy was possibly not to frighten people, to say that masks may not be as necessary. It is true that the protection on the viral, the virologic aspect of things is not perfect for the regular mask. They are better with the FFP2, but they are not available. It was said that it was not mandatory. It didn't take into account a very, very important point, which is that if you are wearing a mask for the regular activity, for example, when you go shopping outside, it will certainly not directly prohibit the droplets to touch your face and infect you. But it has a very, very important function, which is that you will not put your hands on your face to scratch your nose or your eyes or whatever, because you have a mask, and that will spontaneously diminish the number of time that the hands will touch the face. And that once the mask become available as it is now, that again gains importance into the need for having a mask. And now now that the masks are arriving, and billions have been ordered, especially in China, so they are arriving now, so it becomes more and more important to wear a mask.
This virus is very strange to gauge, isn't it? I mean, we first heard it was mainly elderly people or people with underlying health conditions who are being affected, but it's tragic the amount of relatively fit and young, healthy people have been struck down by it as well.
That is true. In fact, the information that is at the source of a big polemic about the behavior of the former health minister Agnès Buzyn, who was convinced that there was something ongoing which was important, but by the information which were available in the early January, which mainly came from China, and in fact only came from China, it seemed that the virus may not be as as violent as it finally proved to be. And in fact, the real problem was the quality of the information coming from Wuhan. And you know that in the very early stages of the disease, the Chinese government tried to hide the very existence of the epidemics. And then they tried to make it in such a way that it was not as violent, yet they were able to confine Wuhan. And they declared a number of deaths which was relatively low compared to what we observe in Italy or in France or in Spain. In fact, the real question is, what is the quality of the information that reached us through the Chinese government? Yes, this morning on the news, I heard some sort of polemics as to the number of deaths, which does not seem to fit between what has been announced by the official government of China and the number of urns that the family are able to retrieve now. And there is a queue in the street, and it seems that there is much more death rate even within Wuhan that has been officially announced. So in fact, the virus has been underestimated, but it is not by the lack of competency of the Western government. It's simply based on information which may not reflect the true reality of it.
Okay, as a leading cardiologist, Professor Saudi, what advice do you have for people to look after their cardiovascular systems while they're confined?
Well, obviously that will be difficult, but what you need to do is keep on living a life which would be as normal as possible, and do not sacrifice exercise. Physical exercise is a very important point, and obviously it is difficult to do if you're confined and if your apartment is small. The French rules are that you are allowed to practice a little bit of sport very close to your apartment and less than 1 kilometer for a limited amount of time, and you have to declare it, and you have to be alone, not close to somebody else. But do not sacrifice the exercise, physical exercise. If you could do it within your apartment, is very important. Just do some gym, repeated movement, squats or running on site. That's the point number one. Point number two is the food, because if you do not move, because you simply cannot, you're confined, you have to be cautious with what you eat, because there will be a natural tendency to drink more, to eat more, and not to to do exercise. So you will gain weight, and that's bad. You might also be less strict on the sodium diet for those who need sodium diet, sodium-free diet, such as the high blood pressure patients or the heart failure patients. And those may be at a higher risk of decompensation. And that is certainly the worst moment, because if you now have a major cardiac problem, you will have to face the relative smaller amount of beds in order to take care of you, because many of the beds in the hospitals will be devoted to COVID, which does not mean that there isn't any, because in fact the reorganization at the various sites, whether in France or in Monaco, is such that the emergencies are still taken into account, but this will be obviously a little bit more difficult.
And finally, Professor Saudi, what are you doing to keep yourself amused during your confinement?
Well, that varies, obviously, from one person to another. What I'm doing is not the most interesting. I'm doing a lot of music and reading. But above all, I think the general advice what we should give is to strengthen your social ties, communicate with your family, your friends. And in fact, I had some discussion with a friend of mine whom I appreciate very much, as a very famous artist. He's doing a lot of meditation, and that is something that not everybody does, but it is something which can be discovered on this occasion. So you can go on the internet, find some key how to learn meditation. That is something that will give you a little bit of serenity and peace in this moment, which is rather full of anxiety. But communicating and talking to your family, developing your human relations, I think it is a good moment. Many times during the normal life, we're very, very busy. We constantly run, and we lose most of the essential of the meaning of life, and so that forced confinement forces you to reevaluate what's important in life, and then you rediscover if you just give phone calls to old friends that you do not talk to on a regular basis, then you rediscover them. They're in the same situation as you are, so they want also to communicate, and that finally occupies you for a large amount of time during this confinement.
I'm going to try a French joke house on you for the comedy this morning. Don't worry if you don't get it. I'll explain afterwards.
Je voulais parler avec vous. J'ai un problème de quand je vais à la boulangerie.
Ah, pourquoi?
Bah parce que je sais pas si c'est un baguette, une, le, la. Alors j'ai un ami, il est français, il m'a donné une idée et je voulais partager avec vous pour tous ceux qui ont le problème, une, un.
Et là, c'est quoi ton truc pour savoir dire une ou un baguette?
Alors, ça me coûte plus cher, mais j'ai dit deux baguettes. Au moins,
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
The UK's Foreign Secretary announced on Monday evening a repatriation plan for British nationals who are currently stranded overseas and who are unable to return home due to border closures and or because commercial options are no longer available. In these cases, the FCO, in partnership with commercial carriers, will facilitate special chartered flights to get UK nationals back home. The government has pledged £75 million to the effort. Vulnerable people, including the elderly and those with underlying health issues, will be given priority. However, the UK-France border remains open and commercial travel options are still available, although becoming increasingly restricted. UK nationals who live in the UK and that are currently in France, whether working, on holiday or travelling, should return home now while commercial options are still available. At the time of this report, there are still flights, trains, ferries and the Eurotunnel that can offer return to the UK. The Foreign Secretary emphasised that airlines are standing by to help and will be offering greater flexibility with tickets and carriers. Please note, this advice and announcement do not relate to UK nationals who are permanently resident in France. British nationals resident in France should continue to stay at their home location and follow French government and local authority guidelines. For inquiries, please email france.inquiries@fco.gov.uk. 8 patients have died from the coronavirus in the Outmaritime and the Var, reported on Monday the 30th of March. 6 died in the Outmaritime and 5 in the Var. Since the beginning of the coronavirus epidemic, 38 people have died in the two regions aforementioned, 20 in the Outmaritime and 18 in the Var. 30 coronavirus patients are still in intensive care in the Outmaritime and 43 in the Var. In Stage 3, as in Stage 2, the message remains the same, reminds the Prefecture. To limit the spread of the epidemic, the most effective measure is the simplest, based on individual responsibility, that is to say, respecting barrier gestures. The authorities have repeated that in case of symptoms, cough and fever, that make you think of COVID-19, the only reflex is to stay at home and contact your doctor or the emergency services. For questions about the COVID-19 coronavirus, a toll-free number answers permanently 24/7 on 0800 130 000. That's 0800 130 000. The health authorities of the Principality were also informed on Monday, March the 30th, that 3 new patients had tested positive for COVID-19. This brings the number of people affected in the Principality by the coronavirus to 49, including 1 who is now cured. The Princely government recalls the importance of remaining fully mobilised while respecting the rules of health precautions and travel restrictions. Meanwhile, in Marseille, on the website of the IHU, directed by Professor Didier Raoult, the IHU indicates that 16,506 people have been tested on site, 1,988 have been tested positive for COVID-19, and 13 people died from the disease. The IHU adds that 1,003 people were treated with the combination of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin within the IHU, and there was 1 death after more than 3 days of treatment. On a national level, France reported on Monday evening that it had reached the 3,000 mark, with 3,024 deaths registered due to the virus, with an additional 418 deaths in 24 hours. Nearly 21,000 people are hospitalised due to the coronavirus, of which 5,107 are in intensive care. The date of the peak of the epidemic is difficult to estimate, whether in the Paris region or in PACA. It all depends on compliance with confinement, specifies Philippe de Mester. We noted a loosening of confinement this weekend compared to the previous weekend. In other news, police in the Var have opened an investigation after a man opened fire on his neighbour in Toulon. The incident occurred on Monday afternoon. The victim did not survive and died on the spot. According to reports, the victim was a 70-year-old pensioner. The suspect was taken into custody at the Toulon Central Police Station. At this stage of the investigation, the causes of the dispute are not yet known. An investigation has been opened to determine if 12 deaths reported in a nursing home in Mougins were caused by the coronavirus. According to the regional health agency, some residents died inside, others in the hospitals of Cannes and Grasse. Those still in the home are currently confined to their rooms. Renaud Muselier, president of the region, has detailed on Monday afternoon the emergency and solidarity plan for the community, which totaled €1.4 billion. To cope with the medical situation and clarify perspectives for entrepreneurs and employees alike, the plan is broken down into two parts, €227 million to respond to the immediate crisis and €1.2 billion intended for the post-COVID recovery. The envelope dedicated to emergency and solidarity amounts to €227 million, intended primarily for healthcare staff. The region has already offered 4 million masks. It will also pay a bonus of €200 to some 14,000 health students mobilised on the front line, and it grants free regional transport to all caregivers. €65 million will come specifically to support companies in difficulty through immediate aid of €1,500 for very small companies and the self-employed, then a second aid of €2,000. For those concerned, more details are available by calling 0805 805 145. Jean-Michel Blanquer, France's education minister, has said he would announce details of the baccalaureate final exams by the end of the week as French schools entered their third week of a lockdown aimed at containing the spread of the coronavirus. Blanquer assured worried parents that the exams would be held this academic year so that students are not wronged and don't lose a year. Schools in France have been shut since March the 16th, a day before the entire nation was put under a strict lockdown. Schoolchildren across France have since been following their curricula with their teachers by video and email and via televised school programmes on national television. France stepped up on Monday its calls for firms using state aid to keep afloat during the coronavirus crisis to not pay out dividends to shareholders this year. Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire said, "I call on all companies who are putting staff on partial unemployment that are having their wages paid by the state to show the greatest restraint possible in terms of paying dividends," adding, "Even better is to set an example and not pay dividends." The head of the government and the Minister of Health will be heard on Wednesday by the fact-finding mission of the National Assembly concerning the measures taken in the context of the fight against COVID-19, as well as their application. Prime Minister Edouard Philippe and Minister of Health Olivier Véran will be heard together by the fact-finding mission of the National Assembly this Wednesday at 6 p.m. This hearing, which will be held by video conference, will be broadcast. Its purpose is to question the head of the government on measures already taken and their application. At this stage of the crisis, the fact-finding mission has no investigative powers. Meanwhile, French media has reported that the €1,000 prime planned for employees forced to go to work despite the confinement could be doubled to €2,000. The order may well be presented to the Council of Ministers this Wednesday. The amount of this bonus could thus reach €2,000. The period in which it is payable should be extended until August 31st this year. Due to the confinement measures currently in place, it may not come as a surprise that a historic level of television audience has been reached. According to Media Métrie, the highest record has been reached, with the French watching, on average, 4 hours 29 minutes of television per day. Even the listening time of young people, 15 to 24-year-olds, went from 1 hour and 3 minutes to 1 hour and 29 minutes. Confined since March the 17th, the French notably favoured news channels. President Emmanuel Macron's speech on March the 16th was followed by a total of 35.3 million viewers on all the channels that broadcast it. And the French also followed entertainment such as Koh-Lanta on TF1, 6.5 million viewers on Friday, March the 20th and 27th. Finally, a French plumber and his dog have left Melun in the Paris region for the UK to help research into the coronavirus. Sidi Drissi and his dog Isla left on Monday, March the 30th. Isla is a six-year-old shepherd dog who has achieved a remarkable feat and was awarded in 2019 with the Dog Hero Trophy for her ability to detect gas leaks. Trained since she was 6 months old to detect gas molecules, Isla has to date carried out 209 interventions up to nearly 3 metres underground and been 100% successful. Now, Isla has been requested along with her master by a charity in the UK specialising in dog training for scientific purposes. Research will be carried out by a university located in the northeast and a medical school specialising in tropical diseases in London. Ultimately, dogs looking for COVID-19 would be trained in the same way as dogs that the charity has already trained to detect cancerous tumours, Parkinson's disease and bacterial infections. A system which is faster and less expensive than tests, and a useful approach, especially at airports, to identify carriers of viruses. This would help prevent the reoccurrence of the disease after the current pandemic is under control.
Riviera Radio, Sports News. The Tokyo Summer Games will be held between the 23rd of July and run until the 8th of August 2021, following a decision by the International Olympic Committee. The Games were due to be held this summer, but have been postponed because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Summer Games will still be called Tokyo 2020, despite not taking place until next year. The president of the IOC, Thomas Bach, said he hoped the Games could be the light at the end of the tunnel as the world grapples with the impact of the coronavirus. Formula One, there's been a negative reaction to news that the Red Bull Motorsport boss Helmut Marko advised his drivers to become infected with coronavirus while the season is in hiatus. The 76-year-old is reported to have had the idea to bring his drivers and juniors together in a camp, which would be the ideal time for the infection to come. He said they were all young men in good health and that way they would be prepared for when the action starts. Other Red Bull management poured cold water on the idea, which was abandoned. Football, the former Blackburn striker, now BBC pundit Chris Sutton, has said that Harry Kane would be stupid not to leave Spurs if he wants to have a chance of winning the English Premier League title. Kane has said that he could leave the club if Spurs don't progress, as he wants to win trophies sooner rather than later. Sutton said he understood the predicament that the player is in, and that if he wants to win the Premier League, he should move to a team which has a better chance of doing it. And in rugby union, Ireland's summer tour of Australia is under threat because of the coronavirus pandemic. Ireland are due to play two tests against the Wallabies in Brisbane and Sydney in July, but Rugby Australia says it's looking less and less likely. It said a final decision would be made in consultation with World Rugby.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
The coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaty and the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,011 millibars between continental France and Corsica, moving south. Winds are easterly, force 3 to 5, picking up to force 6 later. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,010 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5 easterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are east-southeasterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 4 to 6. Easterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Very overcast in Monaco at the moment. So sunshine and occasional showers the forecast for the region. Lights to moderate easterly winds. Top temperature 15 degrees. Overnight lows 9 degrees on the coast, 7 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Wednesday and Thursday, mainly fine with highs of 13 to 15 degrees. Finally, a woman had a conversation with her neighbours about their cat by placing signs in their windows to stick to coronavirus restrictions. Sean Cosgrove said she'd long admired the black and white cat who lived in the house opposite but had never spoken to her neighbours. She'd been seeing more of him since the government told people to stay at home to stop the spread of the virus. And she said she decided to put a sign in her window asking his name. Her neighbours soon responded with a sign of their own saying he was called Walter. Miss Cosgrove said, me and my partner had been calling him Eric because we didn't know his name, but he was always sitting in the window looking majestic. It was annoying me that we didn't know his name, but we see him every day, all day, every day. Now we're in lockdown, so I asked. I didn't expect to get a response, but they were really good sports about it. She put up another sign saying, great name, Walter is a handsome boy. And her neighbours responded, he says, thank you. We've lived here for nearly a year and never spoken to them, but I figured, what have I got to lose? I was so pleased when they posted something back. Feeling part of a community has felt huge for me while we're in lockdown. And great comfort animals at the moment, I find, apart from when they leave dead birds on your doorstep as a present. But enough of that. You're up to date. The news is on the website, revereradio.mc.